Doing? Y'all good this morning? I gotta start a little loud. I never know if this microphone's gonna work or not. And so, yes, I will announce that. How's everybody doing today? Good. Well, we're gonna have fun today. How many of y'all been enjoying our series Summer of Transformation? And Kobe did a great job last week talking about leadership. I'm gonna continue that today. And if you'll open your Bibles to the book of Judges, we'll get started in just a minute there. And we're going to have a lot of fun today. Y'all like to have fun? Good. We'll have fun. Lots of great stuff going on. If you want to get baptized, you can sign up in the foyer. We baptized about 15 people in the last month and a half or so. So that's great. And we have our new members event tonight. If you'll sign up at the Connect desk, if you don't sign up, we don't know you're coming. We won't be prepared for you. So if you're interested in becoming a part of our family, we don't ask you to join our church, we ask you to join our family. If you're interested in that, you can sign up at the Connect desk, and we'd love to have you with us this evening for that. We have small groups going on, and I want to challenge you to be a part of one of those small groups we have going on. Every Saturday morning, we have our men's breakfast. Get signed up and be a part of that. You can talk to John. Where's John at? John, you in here? He's outside. But get with John McKnight, and he will put you on our direct list, and you can be a part of everything that's happening there. Along with that, we have a ladies' group Wednesday mornings and Thursday nights. That you can join and be a part of also, along with young adults and everything else. I want to address the Iran-Israeli conflict real quick. How many know the Bible says we stand with Israel? And we pray for the peace of Jerusalem. And so I just want to challenge you. There's no greater time in history to start praying and believing for peace in the Middle East and for things to iron out and work out. I'm not going to take sides on whether I think we should have attacked or not attacked. All I know is there's been wars there for hundreds and hundreds of years. I got pastor friends that will come out this morning and say that this is the direct end times, and this is, do I believe we're living in times? Yes. Do I believe this is the end of the end? I don't know. The Bible's very clear. It says, no man knows the day nor the hour. We know the season. I think it'll happen during the Feast of Trumpets, which is coming up. But, I mean, that happens every year. They have the Feast of Trumpets. But no one knows the day or the hour. It says, not even the Son. Jesus doesn't even know when he's coming back. Only the Father knows. And if Jesus doesn't know, I'm not going to pretend to know. And so all I can tell you to do is to pray for Israel and pray that no attacks come anyone's way. And because we want to preserve life and liberty, and we want freedom for the people of Iran also. And so pray for the Iranian people as they're under attack right now because of the regime that they serve under. And so pray for them and pray that they would get freedom through this all. The best thing that could happen is those people would be liberated from the tyrants that have been in charge for hundreds of years now, or for, 50 years now, and ever since the 70s. And so, just about as long as I've been alive. And so pray for the Iranian people as well. Pray for the Middle East. And just pray that the Lord handles these issues. I will tell you that I don't think it's a coincidence that the other morning there was an earthquake that happened in Iran. You don't attack God's people and God not take care of some issues. And so I think the Lord is with the children of Israel. That's what the Bible says. Now, the children of Israel for hundreds of years, and we'll talk a little bit about that today. We're going to talk about the judges of Israel a little bit. For hundreds of years, the children of Israel have sinned against God, and God has put them into slavery and everything else for 40 years at a time. And the truth is, we put ourselves in slavery. The children of God really never put them in slavery. The children of Israel put themselves in slavery by their actions and what they did. And the truth is, the only reason we're bound in our life is by choices a lot of times we make not to be obedient to what God's told us to do and how God's told us to act. And so I want to start with our key verse for this series, Romans 12:1. It says, I appeal to you therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice. That means we need to sacrifice every part of ourselves to the Lord and to present our bodies holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. And then it says, don't be conformed. In other words, don't follow the blueprint of this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. In other words, be transformed. That by testing you may discern what is the will of God. What's the one thing we hate in our lives? We've talked about this the last few weeks. Come on, think back to grade school. We hate testing. You hate testing, and you hate storms, and you hate the little things that you have to walk through in your life. Am I wrong? How many of y'all don't like to be uncomfortable? But I will tell you that comfort is the enemy of growth, because when you're comfortable, you want to stay right where you're at. I can tell you, when I get in my recliner in the evening with my little dog, it's hard for me to even get up and go to bed sometimes because I'm just comfortable. I don't want to move. And I'm just telling you, comfort is the enemy of growth. Sometimes you're uncomfortable because God's trying to move you and shift you somewhere. And so if you're uncomfortable, it's not that you need to move and find a place of comfort. It's you need to find the place that God has in the will of God, because that's what brings peace and that's what brings comfort in your life. So when I'm uncomfortable or I'm going through a storm in my life, the first question I usually stop and ask myself is, God, why am I going through this? Because if I know why I'm going through it, and I know why God is trying to move me into something, and I can figure that out, a lot of times the storm will end and cease quicker. And a lot of times it's for God to position me into the place that He needs me to be. He needs to shift my course a little bit and change something about how I'm living or how I'm breathing or how I'm moving or what I'm doing. And there should be something different about us as Christians. We should live different. We should eat and drink a little different. We should act different. We should talk a little different. We shouldn't sound like the world. We shouldn't talk like the world. We should have different visions and dreams than the world has. Our blueprint and our schematic should be just a little bit different. And so there's a season where the children of Israel had judges. And some of you would recognize them just by mentioning their names. For example, the two we're going to talk about today. First one, Samson. How many of y'all remember Samson? Samson's this guy that's creatively and just ordained to be a supernatural strong man. He can do things that no other man can do. He has a supernatural ability for strength. The Spirit of God comes on Samson, and all of a sudden the Spirit of God comes on him. He would shake, and then he would tie the tails of hundreds of foxes together, set fields on fire. He'd take the jawbone of a donkey and beat thousands of men to death with it. He just was supernaturally strong. But the funny thing is, you even think about the jawbone of the donkey. Samson had this Nazarite vow that he took. And one of the things that he couldn't do was touch any dead thing. What does he do to win that victory? He touches a dead thing. Samson lived his life in disobedience to what God had ordained him to really do. But he did stuff out of anger. He did stuff out of sin. He did a lot of stuff the wrong way. Just think of what God had done could have done with Samson if he just would have been obedient. And then we've got Deborah. And if we look at these two, they seem like they're worlds apart. Deborah is a prophetess. She's wise and she's a courageous leader who walks with God, who loves God, and she does everything the right way. Now the women would tell the men this is how it normally happens. She does everything the right way, and because she does it the right way, the children of Israel live in peace, and they live in joy, and they live with victory for 40 years. She builds people up. She edifies people. Everybody in Israel respected her. But Samson's impulsive. He's flawed. And he often wanders far away from God. And yet God uses both of them. Isn't that just like our God? He chooses the available over the able. And His glory shines not just through the righteous, but also through the wrecked. And the truth is, it doesn't matter how messed up your life is, God can still use you. And He loves you. In comparing these two, we learn powerful lessons about leadership and obedience and calling and character. And ultimately, the God who works through both strength and surrender. God always chooses whom He wills. So Deborah's story is found in Judges 4 and 5, and she's introduced simply in this way, if you'll turn with me, Judges 4:4. It says, "Now Deborah, a prophetess, the wife of Lapidoth, was judging Israel at that time. She used to sit underneath the palm of Deborah between Ramah and Bethel in the hill country of Ephraim. And the people of Israel came up to her for judgment." Now, one thing you need to know about Deborah, she really didn't seek power. It was given to her by God. Mainly because her heart was great. And she was obedient. She knew how to listen to God's voice. And we see this happen throughout the story of her life with Sisera and Jabin and Canaan, and how she sends Barak to conquer them and take over them. And because of this, like I said, Israel had peace for 40 years. And in Judges 13:1, we see the story of Samson. It said, "The people of Israel again did what was evil in the sight of the Lord." This is a pattern in their history. "So the Lord gave them into the hands of the Philistines for 40 years. And there was a certain man of Zorah of the tribe of Danites whose name was Manoah, and his wife was barren and had no children." How many of you know that God always does the possible with the impossible? She was barren. In other words, she couldn't have children. "And the angel of the Lord appeared to the woman and said to her, 'Behold, you are barren and have not borne children, but you shall conceive and bear a son. Therefore be careful and drink no wine or strong drink. Eat nothing unclean, for behold, you shall conceive and bear a son. No razor shall ever come upon his head, for the child shall be a Nazarite to God from the womb, and he shall begin to save Israel from the hand of the Philistines.'" Now you need to remember, Samson didn't pick the calling on him. God picked it for him. God has an anointing pick for your life, whether you receive it or not. He has something for your life. How many of you know, how many times do we see angels appear in the Bible to announce a birth? There's only four times. There's Isaac, right? Appears to Abraham and Sarah. There's Isaac. Then there's Samson. And then there's John the Baptist, and there's Jesus. And out of all these, only one truly does it right, and that's Jesus. And so his birth foretold by an angel. He's set apart as a Nazarite from birth, a man destined to deliver Israel from the Philistines. He had a divine calling. But unlike Deborah, he never truly, fully embraces it. He uses it, but he doesn't embrace it. And the truth is, there's a difference between using what God has given you and embracing what God has given you and embracing the anointing and embracing the calling that God has on your life. There's faith versus the flesh. Deborah walks in obedience. God told her to summit Barak and lead Israel into battle, and she did. Now Barak, on the other instance, she tells Barak, "Go into battle. God's going to give us this victory." And he looks at her and says, "I'm only going if you go with me." I'm summarizing a lot today because I don't want to take forever. I'm only going if you go with me, Deborah. In other words, I need my security blanket. I know God loves you, but I'm not sure He'll take care of me, is basically what he said. So the general of the tribe of Israel has to take a woman with him to go into battle. And she basically looks at Barak and says, "Because you refuse to do and walk by faith and do what God's called you to do, you're not going to get credit for the victory. Instead, a woman will get credit." And I think that's a lot of the time is God calls us to do something, but we're like, God, well, if you do this, I'll do this. God, if you show up in this way and I see this angel appear to me, then I'll do what you've called me to do. Or God, if you give me this miraculous sign, put $1 million in my check account, then I'll do this, this, and this. There's a lot of people say, God, if I just win the lottery, I would tithe first. But yet we get a check for $10 and we're like, well, Lord, you know, you really don't need the dollar. Or God, you've called me to do this, but you've got to do this in order for me to do it. And we put all these limitations on God when God's calling us to live in faith. There's a point in the Bible, and this wasn't in my notes today, but there's a point in the Bible where the disciples, they're trying to cast out a devil, trying to cast out a demon, and they can't do it. And Jesus comes up and he does it, and the disciples are like, why couldn't we do it? And he said, only some of these come out by prayer and fasting. Only this happens by prayer and fasting. But he's not talking about the demon coming out. He's talking about unbelief. He said, the unbelief only happens through prayer and fasting. You get rid of the unbelief. The prayer and fasting wasn't for the demon. It was for us to get rid of unbelief. There's something about living a prayer life, living a life of fasting, and true leadership is following God and what he wants us to do. Because the truth is, we can't lead when we're lost. You can't lead someone to somewhere that you've never been. It's hard to lead people to Jesus when you truly don't know him in a real way. And to know him in a real way is have to have faith. You have to have faith in your life. And so Barak has a little issue with this. And Samson, on the other hand, he always let his flesh lead. Samson loved women. And there's not a guy in here just about that wouldn't say that they didn't love women. And if you're married, you better not say a word right now other than you love your wife. But Judges 14:5. Well, it's raining on the just today, praise God. Judges 14:5, it says, then Samson went down with his father and mother to Timnah. And I want you to listen to this. This is the epitome of Samson. We want to know why we go through storms in our life. Listen to why Samson has to face this storm in his life. He goes down to Timnah, and they came to the vineyards of Timnah. And behold, a young lion came to him roaring. And the Spirit of the Lord rushed upon him, and although he had nothing in his hand, he tore the lion in pieces as one tears a young goat. But he didn't tell his father and mother what he had done. Why don't you think he told his father and mother about beating up a lion? Don't you think any young man would say, Dad, you're not going to believe what I just did. I tore a lion apart with my bare hands. Why do you think he doesn't run to his dad and tell him this? Because he was in a place and in territory that he shouldn't have been. Think about it. Where is he headed? He came to the vineyard of Timnah. What's the one thing Samson can't touch or drink? Anything from the vine. So he's headed to the place that he's not supposed to be, and the lion runs out straight at him. Sometimes we wonder, why are we facing this? Why did this storm happen in our life? It's because God's trying to protect you and keep the anointing that he's called you to on your life. And the lion runs out, and he's in a place where he shouldn't have been, and the Spirit of the Lord still comes upon him because the Spirit of God has ordained him for such a time as this, and he tears the lion apart. It says, although he had nothing in his hand, he tears it into pieces as one tears a young goat. But he did not tell his father or mother what he had done. Then he went down and talked with the woman that he was interested in, and she was right in his eyes. And after some days, he returned to take her, and he turned aside to see the carcass of the lion. And behold, there was a swarm of bees. He returns to the place where he shouldn't have been again. What's another thing that Samson was never supposed to do? Touch any dead thing. Where does he get the honey from? A dead carcass of the lion he killed. So in other words, he breaks one and he breaks two. We think, well, Samson just had his hair cut. That's how he lost his strength. No, there were three things he weren't supposed to do. He wasn't supposed to do. Wasn't supposed to touch any dead thing. Wasn't supposed to touch anything from the vine. Where do we find Samson? Samson's constantly breaking the covenant that he has with God. What is covenant? It's relationship. He's constantly abandoning the relationship that he has with God and the covenant that was set aside for his life. He scrapes out the hand into his hands the honey, and he's eating it as he goes, and he comes to his father and mother, and he gives them some. And they ate, but he did not tell them he scraped the honey from the carcass of a dead lion. I don't know about you, he was tough and dumb. I would have never touched honey out of a dead animal. It just don't even sound good to me. So time and time again, he violates his Nazarite vows. He consorts with prostitutes. He chases after the Philistine women, which he shouldn't have been ever near. He was strong in his body and in the calling that God put on his life, but he was weak in his mind and his spirit. Let me ask you this. Are you following God's calling that's on your life, God's way or your way? Because there's a difference between courage and control. We see Deborah, she leads through wisdom and she leads through courage. She empowers others. She empowered Barak and Jael and even the people. Her leadership lifted other people up constantly. Judges 5:2 says it like this: when the princes in Israel take the lead, when the people willingly offer themselves, praise the Lord. She stirred a whole nation in the way that she led. She stirred the nation. Samson, by contrast, was a one-man army. His leadership isolated him. He fought alone, he lived alone, and he died alone. His victories were personal, not national. See, God's called you to have victories more than just in your own life. Instead of stirring a whole nation, he isolated himself from the nation that God called him to. He never raised up others. In fact, he only avenged himself. And everything he did was to suit himself, just about. See, leadership that lasts does not control people. It calls people to rise. Deborah did that, but Samson did not. The relationship with God was very different. It was intimacy versus a life of interruption. And there's a difference between living a life of intimacy and a life that's constantly interrupted. I had to tell myself, I'm not going to let things that aren't of God interrupt me any longer. There's people and there's things that will steal your time. And you have to be careful who you give your time to. Because what you give your time to is what will control you. What you give your time to is what will control you and what will control your life. The people you sow into is what you're feeding off of. Be careful what you're eating of. Samson was not careful of what he ate of or who he spent his time with. He ate from dead things, and it ended him up in a dead place. He gave his time to people that should have never got his time because they didn't serve the same God that he served. And all of a sudden, what do you know? He loses the anointing, he loses the power that God has on his life. Because he hangs out with the wrong people, he eats from dead things, he spends time in places that he shouldn't be, and he does things he shouldn't do. Be careful where you're spending time. 2 weeks ago, we talked on the day of Pentecost, we talked about time, place, and order. We see it related to the Spirit of God even in this story. Where you spend your time, where you place yourself, and the order that you have in your life will determine the outcome of your life and what you do with your life. You have to be very careful with where you're putting your time, where you're spending your time, and who you're giving your time to. Don't let the enemy isolate you. Why did the devil want Samson isolated, how he lived his life? Because even though he had power, it wouldn't affect the nation. It only affected his life. And the enemy was okay with that. The truth is, your calling and the anointing that's on your life is bigger than just yourself. You should be impacting your neighbors and your neighborhood and the city that you live in. It shouldn't just be about you. Deborah has a clear relationship with God, and Samson's relationship with God was erratic at best. He was so used to that whenever he got in trouble and did something stupid, the Spirit of the Lord would come upon him. And the truth is, Samson never sought God except for when he was in trouble. When's the one time we cry out to God and want a relationship with God? It's when we need something. The truth is, Deborah's relationship with God was an everyday relationship. And because of that, we never see Deborah really even in trouble. Why? Because when you follow God's way and you walk in God's path, He makes it clear. And when you're walking God's direction, a lot of times He doesn't have to send a storm into your life to get you back on path. Unfortunately, Solomon's intimacy with God comes late, and it comes painfully. We see in Judges 16:28, only at the end of his life, blind and broken, does Samson truly call on God. And he says, "Sovereign Lord, remember me." Truth is, don't wait until you're in chains to pray. Cultivate your walk with God like Deborah did, every day, intimately and confidently. The truth is, will your legacy have honor, or will your legacy be one of tragedy? Deborah's remembered as a prophetess, a warrior, and a mother of the children of Israel. Her song in Judges 5 is one of the earliest pieces of Hebrew poetry. It's a national anthem of deliverance. She left Israel in peace for 40 years. Samson's legacy, on the other hand, is bittersweet. Yes, he killed more in his death than in his life, but it was a tragic end. His potential was enormous, but it was squandered. He is listed in Hebrews 11 as a hero of faith, but more as a warning than an example of how we should live our life. See, both finished the race, but only one finished with peace, and with dignity, and with joy. If you want to finish with peace, dignity, and joy, you finish with Jesus. It's your relationship with God. And the truth is, you need to ask yourself, what legacy will you live? As I look at little Scotty down here, what legacy will I leave to my grandson and to my children? Will you leave a legacy? How will you be remembered? Will you be remembered for the battles that were caused by yourself? Or will you be remembered by the battles that the Lord won through your obedience? God's sovereignty is sovereign. And despite their differences, one thing unites Deborah and Samson. It's the sovereignty of God. He used both to deliver Israel. One through obedience, and the other through strength. God's purpose has prevailed even through human weakness. And this should give us both hope and humility. Hope because when we mess up like Samson, God can still redeem us. And humility because like Deborah, we remember it's God working through us, not us working for Him. See, your past doesn't disqualify you. Your gender doesn't disqualify you. Your weakness doesn't disqualify you. God uses who He chooses, but we choose whether to follow Him or to do it our own way. The question is, are you going to be like Deborah, faithful, wise, and obedient, encouraging others, or more like Samson, gifted but distracted, strong but constantly wandering? God's calling us as a church to rise up not in our own strength, but in His, not for our own glory, but for the kingdom of God. And whether you're in a palm tree or in a prison, the call is the same: surrender, trust, and obey. God wants to use you, but He's waiting on you. Think about Samson's last act. He violated all three steps of his covenant, his relationship with God. But the hair began to grow again. See, sin does a couple things. First thing sin did in Samson's life is it bound him with chains. The next thing sin did in Samson's life is it blinded him. And it's the wages of sin that is death and eventually kills him because of the choices that he made. But Samson being bound and being blind, his hair began to grow. The anointing comes back. The spirit comes back. It's on him, and he cries out to God. And in his last breath, he pushes the columns and the pillars of that city apart, and the whole city crushes down upon all the Philistines and kills them all. He takes them all out in his death. But it kills him also. It's really a tragic story. He could have killed all the Philistines without having that happen. Because the Spirit of God is on him. All he had to do is walk with God. The story still ends with the results that needed to happen. But it could have happened differently. The truth is, him stretching out his arms brought death. But think about Jesus. Jesus stretched out his arms and he brought life to all of us. Jesus came so that you didn't have to be in chains, that your sin wouldn't bind you, but you could be free. The truth is, it doesn't matter how you've lived your life. It doesn't matter the choices that you've made up to this point. All that matters is that one choice that you can make today of whether to accept Jesus and to live for Him. You may have accepted Jesus a long time ago, but been doing it your own way. Today's a new day. You don't have to always do it your way. I'm going to tell you, I've learned the hard way. It's easier to do it God's way and to follow Him than to do it your own way. I've made those mistakes. I tell everybody in this place, I'm just a man. I put my pants on one leg at a time just like everybody else in this room. And I love Jesus with all of my heart. But I've made mistakes. And I know there's some of you that have lived a lifestyle where you've made some serious mistakes in your life. And I want to tell you, there's a better way, and His name is Jesus. Whether you're watching at home today or you're in this place, maybe there's some things that you just need to give to God and live your life a little differently. Maybe there's something in your life you need to give to God so you can lead a little differently and you can do what God's called you to do in your city and in your neighborhood and with your family and your friends around you. Don't just pray for your family. Act upon it. Listen to God. Ask God for a strategy to win them to the Lord. Somebody's like, well, pray for my family. They're all lost, okay? I'm going to pray that God gives you a plan. Well, can God use somebody else? No, God's called you. There's an anointing on your life, and the reason He put you in their family. The reason they might be lost is because they're waiting on you. Pray for a strategy. Quit putting it off on, I need somebody else. Don't be barrack and say, I need Deborah there. You don't need Deborah. You're called and you're anointed by God. He's given you a plan. And He's given you faith. Step out into what God's called you to do. Quit saying, well, if this happens, God, I'll do this. Just go do it. And all the stuff that you pray for will probably happen. God's probably waiting on you to act first. He's a God that rewards action. And a lot of times God will act on your behalf just to shift you into where He needs you to be. But a lot of times He's just waiting on us. The victory Samson got on the Philistines, God probably wasn't waiting for his hair to grow. Samson needed his hair to grow to believe in himself again. Like the disciples, when Jesus told them this only happens through fasting and prayer, it's the unbelief part. I want to encourage you this summer, fast. Pray. Pick one day a week to fast. Wake up every morning and say, God, the first 10 minutes of my morning, I'm going to give to You. I'm going to pray. And I'm going to worship. Change how you think about doing things this summer. Let this summer be a summer of transformation. We serve a good God and He loves you. Stand with me today as we close. Father, I just thank you that today is a new day, that we don't have to live the same way we've always lived. We have a Savior who died for us, who redeemed us, who has called us for such a time as this. And Father, just like Jesus stretched out his arms to pay for all the sin of humanity, he also brought us life and resurrection power. He brought life to dead things. And Father, Jesus brought us a new covenant, and his blood redeems and it pays the price for everything that we've ever done. Let us follow you in a new and a real way. Let us choose you and choose life and choose complete surrender to you, Father, because that's where we find victory. See, God does things different than the enemy. If you want victory, you have to do it just the opposite of the way an army would do it. Your victory is in complete surrender. Sometimes we need to wave the white flag and say, God, I surrender all. Y'all remember the old hymnal, I surrender all? I surrender all, Father. Sometimes we just need to say that, God, I surrender all. I surrender everything to you. That's you today. Whatever it is, just close your eyes in this moment. I want you to think about it. There's something in your life that's been holding you back, that's been hindering you, that's been keeping the Spirit of God from being able to do everything that He needs to do in your life. I want you to surrender that to God this morning. Just give it to Him. Say, God, I give you that thing, whatever it is. Maybe you've got something in your life where you built animosities towards somebody. Or maybe you didn't get a promotion and you're still pouting about it, but God left you where you were at because He needed you to be there, not promoted. Because there was somebody else that needed to be affected by your life instead of you, and quit making it about yourself. God ordains our footsteps. Sometimes you may be like, well, I got the promotion, but I didn't get the raise, Father. Well, maybe God's waiting for you to take an extra step of faith above and beyond what you've ever done to entrust you with what He needs to do. But just say, God, I surrender every area of my life, everything to you this morning. I give it all to you. It's all yours. And allow Him to do something new. Father, we surrender all. Maybe you've never asked Jesus in your heart. If you want to do that this morning, just say this prayer with me. Say, Jesus, I admit I'm a sinner. I believe in my heart, with all my heart, that you died and you rose again. I believe that you're the Savior for humanity. And today I choose you to be my Savior. And I wave the white flag of surrender. And I give you every area of my life. Take everything today. And I'll take you, Jesus. So I confess with my mouth, you're my Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. That's you today. We'd love to pray with you as our prayer partners come. We'd love to believe with you. Maybe you need healing in your body. Maybe you needed God to do a miracle in your life or a family matters, family member's life. Whatever it is, I believe that God can do a miracle in your life today. You just have to surrender to Him. If you're at home this morning, we're praying with you, we're believing with you, and we believe God's going to touch you right where you're at today. I love each and every one of you. You can be dismissed. If you need prayer, we'd love to pray for you. If you're coming to new members tonight, we'd love to see you there. Make sure you sign up at the Connect Desk. Have a lovely week. We love you very much.